9. If you'd open your Bibles there, please. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 to 9. And here's what these verses say. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. That's Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 to 9. Before we look at this, let's pray. Father, this is a wonderful book of the Bible. It is a wonderful inauguration tonight into the My Son section. I pray that as we go through this in the next weeks, that you would minister to our minds and hearts and allow us to have wisdom as we gather together and grow together. And we'll thank you for that. Thank you for those who are here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Most young people want to look nice and become popular. Nice-looking young people seem to earn friends. They earn dates and spotlights. The problem is that most of the time, the people that young people are trying to become popular with could care less about God. And in order to become popular with that group, you must give up your personal beliefs, opinions, and values. If you don't, you probably won't be accepted for who you are. You must try to become what they are. According to a recent report by U.S. News and World, the three greatest influences on modern-day teenagers are TV, movies, and music. I'm sure now we can add computers to this list and make it four. They are really influencing the way young people think. The result is that young people are striving to become popular with other contemporary young people who are being dominated for the most part by godless programs, movies, and music. A couple of years ago, there was a song that was real popular. It was called Walk Like an Egyptian. That was a song, if you think about that, that was a nation who hated God. That was a nation who hated God's people, hated His Word. And teens were supposed to walk like that, live life like that. I mean, that was the primary thought of that song. It's no wonder that there are more than 10 different types of teen crisis centers in this country. It's no wonder that the Mental Health Association has devised a 24-hour teletape program which offers a series of 3 to 5 minute messages designed to give counsel to troubled teens. It's no wonder and no coincidence that we're seeing a high rise of teen problems such as runaways, drugs, alcohol, prostitution, and suicide. There's nothing pretty about the direction of most of today's youth. There's nothing very wise about the direction of most of today's teens. Apart from God, young people will always have the same track record, one of hostility, rebellion, depression, and failure. What is the answer to this dilemma? Is there any hope? Can a young person survive? Can a young person develop in a way that's right? Is there such a thing as really becoming today a wise and beautiful person? Is there such a thing as having a young person's philosophy of life that is an intelligent way to conquer life? Well, the answer is yes. There is a way to become popular and beautiful as a young person. There's a way to real success and real accomplishment. It is a way that will enable a person to become highly skilled and highly successful and extremely attractive in the mind of God. It is spelled out in the first major section of this book of Proverbs. Now, this section is called the My Son section. This is the introduction to the My Son section as you come to verses 8 and 9. These two verses contain two clauses, which use synonymous parallelism to communicate a very basic and yet profound reality, and it is this: any young person who will heed the biblical instruction of his parents will become a very wise, beautiful, and powerful person in the sight of God. In other words, these verses communicate that there will be tremendous rewards for the son or daughter who will take in the teachings that his parents are trying to communicate to him or her, those teachings of God that are handed to that child from a mother or a father. If that young person will take in that instruction, according to the Word of God, this person will become a wise individual. This is the ultimate popularity contest, by the way, that you definitely want to win. Because in the end, you want to be popular with God. Who we were popular with in this life won't matter a whole lot, but if we were popular in the mind of God, that will stand for all eternity. Now, where do you begin? Where does this whole process begin of becoming a wise person? And remember, in this section, Solomon is talking to his own sons. He's taking them by the hand and he's saying, "Now, son, you listen to what I have to say to you." Now, there are, as near as I can determine, four observations that we want to glean from these verses tonight which can put one on a path of wisdom. Observation number one, young people need discipline instruction. I want you to notice verse 8. "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Now, this may seem to be very basic, but it's something that I don't want you to overlook. The Hebrew word for instruction here, musar, is that word we've seen earlier in the book. This particular Hebrew word that is used here is a word that implies discipline. It speaks of a disciplined type of training and instruction. And the Hebrew word that's translated teaching, or in some translations law, is the word Torah, which was used to refer to Old Testament law. It was also used to refer to teaching or instruction in general. So the point is, if a young person is going to become wise, if a young person is going to blossom into becoming a beautiful child in the sight of God that's wise and honored by the Lord, this person needs disciplined instruction in the ways of God in order to become wise. Discipline is something that is necessary. Discipline instruction is something that is necessary. And according to the book of Proverbs, as you'll see as we go through the book, there are primarily two methods of dealing out discipline instruction. The first one is what we would call through verbal teaching. Primarily, verbal teaching is seen in chapters 1 to 9. Solomon is basically going to teach his sons the right ways to live life, the wise ways to live life. He's going to give them a lot of input about how to live life in chapters 1 to 9 verbally. But the second way is through physical teaching. I'm talking about physical spanking or disciplining of a young person. This is actually part of imparting discipline to a child. In other words, the book of Proverbs will not shy away from disciplined instruction of a child, which includes spanking the child, for goodness sakes. And there are times when children need that. Some things require some form of corporal discipline because verbal instruction is just not enough. And we live in an age in which people say, "Well, I don't believe in spanking a child." Well, then you don't believe in obeying the Word of God, because it's clearly taught in the Word of God, and it is most definitely taught in this book of Proverbs if a child is to become wise. Let me show you just a couple of references. Chapter 13, verse 24. "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." Do you see that? That's talking about physical discipline right there. Go over to chapter 19 and verse 18. Here's what we read. "Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death." And he's talking about carrying out physical discipline. Chapter 22 and verse 15. "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him." Listen, it is important that we understand this as people who are parents who are trying to guide our children in the wise ways of God. A child has a bent to folly. And in order for us to guide them on the right path, it requires verbal discipline and instruction, and it also requires physical discipline and instruction if we're going to instruct our child in a direction that is wise. Our young people need discipline instruction. I mean, they need this kind of understanding of the Word of God. Charles Bridges, who first published the commentary on the book of Proverbs back in 1846, said that children are rational creatures, yet they're wayward. Instruction must therefore be enforced with the authority of law. God puts his own stamp upon parental discipline. Now, mothers and fathers, notice verse 8, because it's talking about a father and a mother. We need to get a handle on this. There are times when this kind of discipline needs to be meted out. This reality must be admitted by the parents and young people if we're ever going to become truly wise and popular with God. You are not going to just let that child do and say anything that he wants or anything that he thinks is right, and you're just going to let him get away with it. You're going to take a stand. And sometimes that stand will mean you take a verbal stand and you say, "This is wrong according to the Word of God. And here's what the Word of God says." And other times, you've got to take a physical stand and you don't want to spare the rod. Now, what is extremely interesting is that there are many now who are starting to recognize this truth once again. Darlene Pannicchio, a co-founder of the Center for Troubled Kids in California, says, discipline is something we've been far removed from. People are into democratic parenting, but some kids aren't ready to share in rulemaking. You have to make a child obey whatever the rule is. I'll tell you something that is... I don't like meddling in other people's business. I don't like it. I don't like getting into other situations. But I'll tell you something that gets me about that close. I go into a restaurant, and you've got some little kid who's making a disturbance in that restaurant, and you've got mom and dad rationalizing with this little kid about, well, what would you like and what should you do? Instead of telling that kid, knock it off. We're in a place of public, and you're not going to act like this. And if you do act like this, there are going to be consequences for your action. Instead of taking that approach, they're like having a big debate with a little kid when they ought to be hauling that kid into the restroom and taking care of the issue once and for all. This thing is being lost in our society. If we want to become wise in God's sight as parents, we need to understand we have to give discipline. We have to mete out discipline when it comes to our own children. Secondly, young people need discipline instruction from both parents. Now, you can't help but see that in verse 8, because the verse says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Some say mother's law. Now, I want you to observe something, ladies and gentlemen, again. Parents are the teachers. The young people are the learners. No parent is perfect, because there hasn't been a perfect parent ever since the Garden of Eden. But this is God's system. The parents are the teachers. They're the ones who tell and they instruct the child, and the child is the learner. That's the way this system is designed by the Lord. Now, I do not believe it is a coincidence that the more disciplined word for instruction here, musar, seems to be connected more with the father, and the more tender type of teaching, Torah, seems to be connected more with the mother. It's just probably true that the father typically would be the greater disciplinarian than perhaps the mother. The mother might be more tender-hearted. But what is crystal clear from this verse is that both parents, both the mother and the father, are to be involved in instructing the child in the ways of God. And that is clearly something that was taught in the Old Testament. In fact, it was established in Jewish homes in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and verses 6 to 9. Those parents were instructed to talk about the things of the Lord, to teach their children the things of the Lord, to communicate to them when they get up in the morning, when they go to bed at night, to have a conversation about God and just have it be part of their whole lives. It does not seem that God was laying a major stress for academic subjects on parents, but He was stressing, you have a responsibility to instruct that child when it comes to me. In other words, God wanted Jewish parents to constantly teach their children about Jehovah. It was to be a home in which that child realized God comes first. You're going to line up in thinking about God, and this is the way it is going to be. That is the way the home was structured, by a father and a mother, and both of the parents were responsible for seeing to it that this kind of thing was carried out. George Lawson, who was professor of theology in Scotland in the early 1900s, summed up this concept well when he wrote, it is here supposed that parents will instruct their children. They are monsters rather than parents who do not love the fruit of their own bodies. Love will dispose persons to do all the good they can to the objects of it. And the best thing that can be done for children is to teach them the fear of the Lord. Now, it is a sad fact that most parents will invest lifetimes trying to build large estates for their children, trying to accumulate a big bank account for their children, but not take a lot of time to invest energy and time in giving them the very strong basics of a biblical life. But those parents who see to it that their children are taken to church regularly, those parents who see to it that their children are admonished to obey God regularly, those parents who see to it that they admonish their children to listen to the Word of God and to do what's right before the Lord, and those parents who talk about God and stress the importance of keeping God at the center of life will never regret it in the long run. Those parents who put God first will ultimately produce a wise, beautiful child from God's perspective. Now, you can't help but see both parents are responsible for giving discipline and instruction. It's important that both the father and mother give the instruction. It's important that the mother back up the father. It's important that the father stand with the mother. when the mother is presenting what is biblically true. There should not be any citing because of emotional nonsense. If it's instruction that's true and right in accordance with the Word of God, then both parents need to back it up. Both parents need to dig their heels in and stand their ground. That's what the Word of God would have parents do. But suppose you're not in an environment where this is happening. What do you do if you do not have two parents who are believers? What if you have only one parent who is a believer? What chance do you have? Well, the answer is Proverbs. Proverbs gives you the chance. You take the principles that are addressed in the book of Proverbs and you start applying them, and you can influence your child in whatever situation you may find yourself in. Now, the third observation is young people need to obey biblical instruction. Notice verse 8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." If a person who's young wants to be wise and popular and powerful in the mind of God, you must obey instruction. And you must obey the instruction that's consistent with the Word of God that comes from the parents. Now, most of the time, God's instruction will turn out to be just about the opposite of what your peers are expressing. But I want you to remember, and this is so important, that any person who will not heed God's instruction, any person who will not submit himself or herself to the instruction of God, is called in verse 7 a fool. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, when Solomon says to his son, "My son, hear your father's instruction," that particular verb "hear" means much more than just hearing audible sound. It means that you actually perk up your ears and you obey it and you heed the instruction. So the idea here is that when a father is telling you what's right, when a father is instructing you in what's true in accordance with the Word of God, a son who's wise will perk up his ears and will heed that counsel, will heed that instruction. And the Hebrew word for forsake is a word which means to reject or cast off. It speaks of one who departs from a specific point. And the idea is, if you're a wise child and you want to become wise in God's estimation, if you want to become powerful in God's sight, then what you want to do is never depart from the teachings that your mother gives you that's true from the Word of God. That's the point of this. So you take it from the father who's pointing you in the right ways of God, and you also listen to your mother who's pointing you in the right ways of God, and if you will heed that instruction, God says you will become a powerful, wise individual. So to simply state the point, parents teach the children truth. The child must listen to it, learn it, and obey it. And when you hear a child making statements to parents like, "You can't boss me," or you have a child who says to his parents, "I have my rights. You don't expect me to obey you. You treat me like a baby." You're listening to someone who's talking like a baby. You're listening to someone who's talking like a fool. You're listening to one that's not on the path of wisdom. Young people need biblical instruction. They need to get it from mom and dad. They need to hear it. There needs to be a strong position that's taken about this is what the Word of God is. This is what the will of God is. And mom and dad need to communicate that. No matter what the person looks like outwardly, if they're not accepting biblical instruction that's true and accurate, they are ugly to God internally. And that's what Solomon was trying to teach his own son. "Son, we're not doing this for our benefit. We're doing this for your benefit. I want you to become a wise man. I want you to grow to become a powerful man of God, one that will experience all of the blessings of God. So we're giving you this instruction." Which brings us to the fourth observation. Young people who obey will be rewarded. Now look at verse 9. "Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck." God offers some remarkable rewards for a young person who will say, "You know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to listen to mom and dad. I'm going to take their instruction in. I'm going to heed it. I'm going to obey it." God says, "I have a couple of wonderful rewards that I specifically state up front as we launch into Proverbs that I'll give to the young person who takes that approach. Number one, he will become a beautiful demonstration of grace." Now notice verse 9. "Indeed, they are graceful wreath to your head." Now, an ornament of grace on the head is a phrase that means, in Hebrew idioms, that you will become closely and beautifully joined together with the grace of God. In other words, a child who says, I'm going to take in the instruction that's godly from my parents and I'm going to heed it, this person will become a physical demonstration of a beautiful work of the Lord. And that word ornament comes from a Hebrew word which means to be closely joined with. That word grace is a word which many times in Proverbs speaks of something that is absolutely beautiful. So what Solomon is basically saying here is if a young person will heed the biblical teachings and will take in the teachings that's coming from mom and dad according to the Word of God, then this person will discover that he's becoming a beautiful demonstration of God's grace. That person will become an ornament for all to see. That person will become one who's wise and beautiful, no matter what the age. Young person, if you really want to accomplish something in this life, if you want to be closely joined together with God who gave you life, if you want to become a marvelous token of the grace of God, and truth is, if any of us want to become a marvelous token of the grace of God, then heed biblical instruction that comes from the Word of God. Will become wise and beautiful in the sight of God for all eternity. But the second reward is that you'll become a beautiful demonstration of royalty and power. Verse 9, and ornaments about your neck. That phrase, ornament, about your neck, or some translation have chains about your neck, is a phrase that spoke of authoritative royalty. Those chains or necklaces were usually gold, and they were given as a mark of distinction. You may recall that Pharaoh gave Joseph a chain for his neck as a mark of position and authority back in the book of Genesis. The same was true for Daniel. Belshazzar gave Daniel a chain as a sign of position and authority in Daniel chapter 5. Solomon uses this necklace as a term for beauty which dazzled the eye. What we can conclude is if a young person will say, I'm going to heed biblical instruction that mom and dad gives me. I'm going to take in the Word of God I'm going to listen to what they're saying about the things of God. I'm going to apply it to my life. God will take that man, take that woman, and make them into becoming a beautiful demonstration of His power, and they will become authoritative. This is the key to becoming authoritative with God's power. If you want God's power in your life, you put yourself on this path. And God says, I'll make you a beautiful token of my grace, and I'll empower you to accomplish many wonderful things. This verse is making the claim that it is possible. Now listen to this, because this is important. This verse is making the claim that it is possible for a person to become a person of tremendous power with God. And by the way, I want you to notice something there in verse 9. And ornaments about your neck. Ornaments are plural. In other words, you can have many, many powerful experiences in your walk through life, in your walk with God, if you will put yourself on a disciplined path of heeding instruction that comes from the Word of God, specifically from the parents. So any young person who says, I'm going to take in the Word of God and I'm going to apply it to my life and my situation, will discover that he will become an eye-stopping demonstration of the beauty of God. It's foolish to invest time trying to become popular with people who could care less about God. But when you stop to think about it, the fact that God has promised beauty and power to anyone who will follow Him, why would any person want to follow a fool? So invest our lives for the Lord, and that will give us real power and real popularity. Those that are at a younger age need to be people who say, you know what, I'll take in instruction, and I'll take it in, and I'll heed it, and I'll listen to it from mom and dad. They're looking out for my welfare. God's given them a responsibility to look out for my welfare. They're communicating to me what's right and true. And those people that say, I'm going to listen to that, I'm going to heed it, will discover they'll become very, very powerful. You don't want to walk like an Egyptian. You want to walk like a Moses. Or like a Shadrach, a Meshach, and Abednego, like a Daniel. You want to walk like Solomon did when he was under his father David. He listened to his instruction. Now he wandered out for a ways, but boy, I'll tell you what, he eventually came back and listened to the instruction that his father gave him. He saw the importance of him sitting down with his own son and telling his son the same thing. You know, in this country there are more than 1,600 colleges and universities. There are more than 100 in other countries. Each of these schools attempts to unlock information that supposedly can make you skilled in a particular field of study. But the greatest education institution of all is what I would call the University of MD, the University of Mother and Dad. And the classroom for that education is right there in the home. And the textbook for that education is the Word of God. And the diploma for this kind of education is a young person who grows to become a wise, beautiful, powerful child of God who deeply loves the Lord. Parents, stress God to your children. Constantly talk about the things of God in your home. If they get out of line, tighten the screws. Don't be afraid to do that. If you need to get tough, sometimes get tough. That's what they need. That's what the Word of God says. And children need to learn about God. They need to listen to mom and dad. They need to obey them. They need to be faithful. And Solomon says right at the beginning, this is what I want my son to know. My son, this is an important point here. You listen to instruction that comes from the Word of God from mom and dad. If you do, you'll become a beautiful person in the sight of God, and you'll become a powerful person used of the Lord. That's what those two verses teach. All right, any questions or comments about that tonight?